Just ask, has anyone been doing the Lord's Prayer from a couple weeks ago? I have. Thank you. I've got one. I was talking to my mom this week, and she volunteered it to me. And I respect my mom's walk with the Lord. She told me, I've been saying the Lord's Prayer all the time now. And I have two more. And I've preached that message before. It's a great, 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 great way to pray. Great way to pray. When I don't do it as a ritualistic, get through it as quick as I can. If I stop and meditate on it and chew on it, it's really a guide for prayer that really covers a lot of bases in your walk with God. And so just thinking that, my mom shared that with me yesterday, and I was like, oh, yes. And that's what we want, just little nuggets of truth sometimes that can really affect and change and alter our prayer life. Liz, it's good to have you here. Do you not have to work today?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Liz doesn't have to work. So I was thinking Liz is back there still. And just to honor you, just like I did Pete and Andrea earlier, you work on Sundays, and you still come. And you always come, and I was back there. She was in the office, and just to brag on you for a minute, and Willie was back there with me. Like, the Lord honors your faithfulness, and you do stuff hidden and unseen. She's in here every week doing the books, and she does a phenomenal job, not just monthly but weekly reports. So thank you for what you do, and I'm glad you could be here today. So, amen. So I want to finish up on Matthew, and I've been doing the parables of the kingdom of God, and I have a lot of different points. Someone shared a story with me one time, and it was the old superintendent in the North Carolina district, and he said, I was in the church one time, and the man said to me, so Brother Kelly, that was a Texas Longhorn sermon. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you had one point over here, one point over here, and a lot of bull in the middle. And I always remember that. And someone else shared another story I won't share. It was kind of funny. But I have some maybe different points. I don't know how coherent it's going to be or how coherent it is. But just to share my heart with you a little bit. I love the Word of God. You can take two or three verses and just chew on it. And the more you see, the more you realize, oh, this is here, this is there. One other thing I love is when I go through and I look at a scripture and someone comes to me afterwards and say, did you see that in there too? It's like, yes, you can always dig and dig and dig. The Word of God is inexhaustible. And it deserves more than just a cursory glance at it. And often we do that. I do it myself. But when I stop and chew on it and meditate it and study it out, there's really a lot of things that can just alter your life in just two verses of Scripture. Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to give you time to turn. It's verse 51 through 53. Actually, just verse 51 through 52. In Matthew chapter 13. And just as a quick recap, parables, and this was a pivotal chapter, Matthew 13. He gives seven kingdom parables. Depending on who you are, it's seven or eight. I count this one, so I say it's eight. Some people don't count this one and say that it's seven. But parables reveal and conceal truth. And Scripture and Proverbs, the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to search it out. And there are some things in faith that are on the surface and that we can find. It just smacks us in the face that I was looking for it. And there's some things that can only be found through a searching and diligent heart. Amen. And I always look at people and you wonder, sometimes you see folks who have really quality walks with the Lord and pull out great insights and different things, and you say, how do you get that? And oftentimes it's done with these people in the hidden secret place. If you study their lives and study their ministries, you'll find that they find things when no one else is around and when no one else is looking, they're digging and they're pressing in the Lord. Jesus is inexhaustible. Jesus is wonderful. We will spend eternity upon eternity learning the wonders of his person. That's a beautiful thing. And so it says in verse 51, it says, Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished these parables that he departed from there. And so Jesus asked them here, basically he's given all seven parables on the kingdom of God. And as I've said, as it remains of repeating, the disciples typically believed he was the Messiah, but their picture of the kingdom was very different from what they were actually seeing. and they were expecting, as you know, pomp and circumstance, and Lord, can I sit on, can I be this, can I, they were jockeying for position, they were expecting battle and war and things, and Jesus came and said, you know what, I'm going to be crucified and killed. He was meek and lowly, everyone wasn't accepting him, and he kind of shifted their mentality of him. And I was remembering C.S. Lewis made a great quote, a great statement. He said, sometimes God has to shatter our image of him, of who we think he is. And what he meant by that is God is unchangeable, okay? He is who he is. I am that I am. But as I've said before, oftentimes when he shows, this happens to me anyways, he reveals more of himself to me. And this has happened to me some lately. He reveals himself in a newer way, in a fresher way. I learn more about him. And I always almost want to go back and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry just because I didn't know. Lord, I didn't know. And he shows me more and more and more of him. And sometimes God does that for us for a reason. And that happened with the disciples here. And they had a view of the kingdom of God, and Jesus came and adjusted their mindsets. Has the Lord ever adjusted your mindsets and things? He needs to do that, and that's a healthy thing. It means I'm growing. And every time I'm uncomfortable in life, sign that I'm growing. If I'm bored, probably not growing, and I need to find something to stretch me and make me uncomfortable. Amen. It's just that you can do find a lot of different ways. There's been certain things in my life, personally, where the Lord's made me unbelievably uncomfortable. And I look back and say, that's a moment where I grew. Because if I never experienced that, he stretches me and he puts deep roots within you that you wouldn't have if he hadn't stretched you. And see new aspects of who he is and what he is. And so I just encourage you, if you're in a situation where you are uncomfortable and you are being stretched, amen, you're growing. Perspective matters. And sometimes the easiest thing is to complain about it. When God's saying, I'm growing you, and I'm giving you a testimony, and I'm showing you great things. You must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God, says in the book of Acts. Where it's thalipsis, it means pressure. As many pressures enter the kingdom of God. So if you're under pressure, if you're under the gun, rejoice. Amen? Because there's a testimony on the other end. As I say this, I don't want to call people out, but I just keep coming up in my spirit. Alexis, there's a testimony that's being birthed through your life right now. Just continue to stay steadfast. And your perspective is you're a daughter of God. You're a daughter of the King. He's bringing you through, and you're victorious no matter what circumstances or situations the dictators say to you. Okay? Perspective says you look back and say, amen, thank you, God, I went through this. Thank you that I'm going through this. There's something powerful in you. Amen? I want to share that with you. And so he goes on and he says that every scribe, the kingdom of God is like a scribe concerning things of the kingdom. It's like a householder who brings out treasures new and old. And so he comes and says, you know what, there's scribes and there's people who can share with you things about the old covenant, and I'm coming at you from a new perspective. In Hebrews, one of my favorite verses is God, who in past and various sundry times spoke to us through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Amen. And I have to look to him. Everything has to center and be grounded in Jesus Christ. And I was thinking this too. One more quick point. Jesus presented the kingdom through them. He starts off, he says, you know what, everyone's not going to receive this. There's a parable where there's some on the wayside, some in the stony ground, some in the rocky soil where there springs up, and some fall on good ground. And so one in three soils is good. He says, everyone's not going to receive it. And even if they do, the wheat and the tares grow together, and I deal with that. He says, despite the fact that there's evil and there's good that I see, there's still going to be a fruitful harvest. And just as this little mustard seed can grow, a mustard seed, as a reminder, only produces bushes. Jesus said here it's a tree because this kingdom is supernatural in its growth. It does things beyond what it's supposed to do. Okay, and it grows from something that can be seemingly small, doing a small little task, praying, doing something minor that we see minor, can grow. And it spreads out like leaven and it has influence. And the kingdom should always have influence. And he also goes into with the treasure and you seek it out. And we also spoke about the pearl of great price. But he has all these different ways that he's laying out the kingdom of God to them. And some of it's different. And I was thinking this week, it's just another little point. One thing we have, I liken the body of Christ to a doctor. You know, if you go to a doctor, you might have a foot doctor, you might have a doctor that specializes in your knee, a brain doctor. And I liken the body of Christ to the same thing. Because all of us, if you pay attention to different ministries, different individuals, people in the body of Christ, all of us have a certain, I call it message. That we can do a lot of different, say a lot of different things and be well versed in different areas. But if you get to the core of us, a lot of us have one simple message, one simple point that really gets us going. A lot of things, you know, if I'm very prophetic, I'm naturally going to be really drawn to prophetic ministries. If I'm very evangelistic, I'm going to be really drawn to the evangelist. Different types of things. And I another way of stretching yourself is if, an example in this way, if I'm very prophetic and I could just sit in a prophetic meeting all day and I love prophetic teachers, go find evangelists to look at and listen to. And my point of saying that is today we live in a world where everyone, I can go on YouTube and find really any ministry I want to find just about. And there's a lot of different viewpoints and a lot of things. As long as someone is grounded in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they have different perspectives, challenge yourself and say, you know what? He has a different vein from me. He's in a different, but I'm going to listen. I'm going to press myself and grow in God and listen to these different groups. Amen? I say this all the time. There's a guy, John MacArthur. He's a staunch cessationist. Would disagree with me on a lot. I love reading his material. And when he gets to the stuff about gifts of the Spirit, I just, okay, I know where he's coming from. But on other things, on the parables, he has some things that are just excellent. And so never block yourself off from parts of the body of Christ that may you deem as a little different from you. But say, you know what, they might be a little different, but they might be holding up this great valiant and valiant truth that needs to be preserved and intact. And God gives that to them. He gives a special truth to them. Special thing, maybe I think they're off in different areas. Is this making sense to you? It's a way that I can grow. Amen. Thank you. It's a way I can grow and expand myself and hear from different aspects. Amen. It's like a doctor. And one thing I love about doctors, the doctor who will study, for example, your knee, they're constantly learning more about the knee, which tells the testament of how great God is, the greatest way He did. Where we spend one aspect of my body, I just keep learning more and more about it. And it's like that in the body of Christ. Amen. And so he talks about a scribe. And a scribe, just stay with me. One of the famous scribes I love in the Bible is Ezra. And I love the book of Ezra, the story of Ezra. And someone prophesied a verse to me years ago. And I can pull it up. And it was on Ezra. And it was this. Ezra, you don't have to turn there, but you can just listen. Chapter 7, verse 10. It said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach the statutes and the ordinance of it in Israel." Ezra was a scribe, and oftentimes we think of scribes. So in this chapter, Matthew, he says it's like a scribe. "Do you understand what I've been teaching you?" "Yes, Lord, we do." "Well, you're like a scribe." Immediately that puts responsibility on you. And what is a scribe? First, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, but he didn't just teach it. He also did it. He says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach statutes. So what did he do? All Jesus both began to do and to teach, right? Okay. When Jesus taught on the kingdom of God, he said, "Go preach the gospel of the kingdom, and then heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. First I gave you, Diana, Matthew." So he says, go preach it, but also go and do it. Amen? In the Great Commission, let me read this. In the Great Commission, we know in Matthew chapter 28, he says this. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," so what are his commandments? "To teach them to observe all things I've commanded you." So I teach them and teach them to observe. When I'm teaching someone to observe, it means I'm actually doing it. Amen? So all Jesus began to do and teach. So Jesus saying here, if you look at it, he says, you know what? Have you understood all these things? Yes. So I liken you to a scribe. You're someone who can teach it, but you're also someone who does it. And one of the things that everyone hates and everyone can spot from a mile away is a phony. okay? And sometimes I take toward my own self. Sometimes I teach things from here in the pulpit, and then I can be at home, and I realize, wow, I didn't just live what I preach. Wow. And it strikes my heart, because I'm not supposed to just teach it. I'm also supposed to do it. If I'm a true scribe, I prepare my heart to seek God. I prepare my heart to teach it, but I also prepare my heart to do it and to live it. And so as people who understand that he who is given much more will be required. So if you've given anything in God, everyone here has, it automatically puts responsibility on you. And sometimes we don't like that. Maturity, if you want to be mature in Christ, maturity is not, I've got a big house, I've got a big car, I'm 50 years old, I've got this, I've got that. Maturity is all about your ability and willingness to handle responsibility and to accept responsibility. Okay? I have to do things in my... Every one of us in here, we're all adults. Grace, you too. We're all adults. You're growing into a young woman. The more older you get, I know now it's like, oh, I wish I was a kid again, because when I was a kid, I didn't have any responsibilities. And no one else took care of me. And now I get older, and I have responsibilities. And my ability to handle things that I'm responsible for in the natural. Sometimes we ask for things from the Lord. And if you've not been faithful in the least of these, how can you be faithful in much? You speak into money there. So he speaks of money as a temporal thing. He says, if you're not faithful in this, how can I entrust you true riches? So if I can't be faithful to handle a natural thing, sometimes we ask God, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. And I do believe this. Sometimes the Lord waits and withholds it because I couldn't handle what he wanted to give me. There's things I couldn't handle right now in God if he gave it to me. Like I'm not going to give my 16-year-old the keys to a fancy Jaguar because I don't trust him. He has to prove himself in another car first. He has to build up a record. He has to show he takes care of it. He gets it washed. He gets it clean. He gets the oil changed. He changes the tires when they need to be changed. And our life with God is very similar. And sometimes, Lord, I want more. I want more. I want more. And he's looking. He says, how are you handling the natural things that I'm giving you? So in my case, if I'm going to be a true scribe, and I says, Lord, I want more. And he says, okay, Clay, you taught it here, and then you don't do it there. Amen? Practical stuff. But I want to be able to handle more. Lord, I want more of you. And he says, I'm seeing how you live in your day-to-day. And I'm going to see how you handle your spouse. How do you handle your family? How do you handle your job? How do you handle any responsibility I give you? Because of how you handle these things. If you don't handle that, you're not going to be able to handle a lot in the spirit. It's just something I believe. And so maturity is all about ability to take responsibility. And so when he says this, he says, do you understand these things? Yes, I understand these things. Well, I liken you to a scribe, someone who can teach. And we often think of scribes as people who write down things, but someone who can teach and someone who can do stuff. Amen? And so Jesus says, the Jewish people have their scribes, even so the kingdom of God will have its scribes. And it also talks about being instructed. Here's another point. Again, I just had different points. He was instructed. That word instructed is the same word as disciple. Being discipled. You should go into all the world and you be discipled. And I heard there's a guy, Carrie Newiff, I think it is. You've probably seen him. I don't know. He does a lot of church consulting stuff, whatever. But he writes things. And he made a statement one time in one of his writings. He says, I believe in a lot of respects the church in America is 3,000 Bible verses overweight. And what he meant by that is something like I just said. I love the Word of God, but if all it is just, let's just give them more and more and more Scripture. Jesus said, I've given you all these things, I've given you all these things. Part of discipleship and being a disciple of Christ is the ability to actually put what the Lord shows me here into my walk. Amen. And often discipling, and we think of, just to shift from the thought of discipling, let's just give them a bunch of classes to take. Amen. Yes, I want to train them up in the foundational doctrines of the truth. You need that. It's a big problem in the church today, actually. We're not grounded on doctrines and foundations of truth. But it has to translate from there, and it has to go from, I don't want to just disciple them here, but I also want to put them, how do you work out here? So what I'm doing with my son, Owen, with snack time, That's one reason I want him to be in charge of snacks once a month. I'm discipling him. Responsibility, amen? I'm showing him these are different things to instruct you. My wife does a great job. My son asked a question last night. I was so impressed. He was doing the Bible reading, and he asked, why was it that Israel was the only nation who served God? And I was, and my son agrees. And I was thinking, when I was 7 years old, I wasn't asking those kinds of questions. I wasn't that perceptive. I don't want to ask it now sometimes. And so I just told him, I said, thank you for pouring into him through the Word of God and things like that, because I wasn't there when I was 7 years old. And so discipleship, everyone in here, one, you need to be discipled of the Lord. And John says that they all may be taught by him. And there's an old expression that says, if you're not taught by the Holy Spirit, you're not truly taught. If you're not taught by him, you're not truly taught. God uses people to teach, but the one who makes things real, like the story you shared, Bob, you're not going to forget it, because the Holy Spirit took a truth and he taught Bob and made it real in a situation in his life. It came real. He fed it right to you. The Holy Spirit taught you that. And that's the thing, when you walk it out and live it, and that's a beautiful thing. And so there's a different passages. Discipleship is I learn from the Lord, but I also realize that there's people I can be discipling as well. So now Bob lives something, continue to live in and walk in it, and now you can disciple others in it. Come talk to me after church and tell me more about it, because I'm learning that myself. Keep teaching me and discipling, and you have we all can be disciples. Amen. In scriptures, I'm not going to go all there. In Titus 2:4, it talks about older women training younger women, spiritual mothers and fathers in the house of God. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul instructed Timothy. He said, train others that they may be able to train others as well. So I'm always having someone else in mind. I want to read a quick passage to you in 1 Peter that I like. Because all of us have been given gifts and anointings and callings, things that other people need that we have. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So everyone who's been given something, all of us, we have a responsibility to minister to it one another as good stewards and be good stewards over that. Amen. So all of us can be disciples. Let me wrap up. I'm going longer than I wanted to. Two more quick points. He says that your scribe, you can bring out things new and old. Treasures new and old. Treasures in your heart. When your treasure is there, your heart will be also. And I was thinking about that. I don't think he's talking about the Old and New Testament, because they would have no idea what he's talking about. The New Testament had been written at that point. But things old and new. And there's a passage that Paul gives in Corinthians, and he says, remain in the calling, therefore, which you were called, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Were you called while circumcised? Don't become uncircumcised. And here's the thing for that. Wherever, meet God where you are and serve God where you are. And I always say this, my past is my past, but God can use it to use the old things to bring forth the new. And I can always take, in other words, if I'm a great businessman, I don't have to just say, well, God doesn't want me to make money anymore. No, God does want you to make money, and he can use you in that field, in that arena. Amen? He can teach you sowing and reaping. Or, you know, I was really good in this. I was really good in that. And sometimes I was meditating on this before the Lord. I felt like there was someone who needed to hear it. Be a Christian where you are and grow where you're planted. Grow where you're planted. And if you find that something in your life, have the mark of the cross on it and let the Lord use it. But even if it's something nasty in my past and good that I'm, as such were some of you, it's in my past, it's no longer who I am. God can still use it, because you can now minister to it. In 2 Corinthians, there's a passage about this as well. We've been comforted. We can also comfort others. And so I say, God brought me from this. He brings out treasures old and new. So there's some old things in my life. Maybe they're not treasures, but God can make them treasures. And they're old things, and I can bring forth a new, fresh breath of life. I always tell people, you know, the best person to minister in Teen Challenge is someone who's gone through that before. Not me. You don't want me around there, but you want someone who's lived it, all right? Someone who's struggling in any other addiction or any aspect of life, you want people who've walked through it. And that's so important in life when the Lord, as I said before, when He takes you through something, never waste it. Never waste a trial. Never waste a burden. Never waste something that's going on bad in your life. I've done it before by just complaining, and the Lord says, no, I'm going to bring you through it. Because if you actually come through it, you'll be a good steward, and then I can use you, and it's a ministry. It becomes ministries to you, okay? And so, I'm going to wrap up with one thing, and I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. I have a few things I want to say, and I think they're just going to be little tidbits because I'm going to speak on it more later. When we become believers in Christ, again, my Texas Longhorn, I've got different points in different places. There's a passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians said, we're all baptized into one body. And so when I'm born again, and oftentimes we don't like this in America, we celebrate Independence Day, I'm glad we have a free country, I'm glad we have independence. But in the kingdom of God, it is important that I'm free, and I'm a priest of God, I can go to God myself. But it's also important to recognize that I'm also baptized into the same body, and we're born again into the same body of Christ. Amen? And it means that we're all connected. And it means that when God has plans and purposes in our life, they're for us individually, but they're also for us corporately. And I can never fulfill, I believe this, I'll say this, I don't like using absolutes sometimes. It's very hard to fulfill my individual destiny apart from my corporate destiny. I say it all the time. I need you, you need me. We need each other because we're connected in the body of Christ. That's why I believe in the body of Christ. It's why I believe in the local church, because God has that. And I was looking, and you know, there's a church universal. On this rock I shall build my church. There's also a church local. When Jesus was giving in Matthew 18 about church discipline, it's by the local church. I wrote down there's churches in Judea, Galilee, Samaria, Syria, Sicilia, Asia, Macedonia, Galatia, Judea. You remember in Revelations, he addresses the seven churches. The angel over this church. Because there's different needs, different situations, different people, different things in those different churches. And so the Lord here is speaking as a private audience to the disciples. Okay, these are the men he's going to take out and spread. And they're going to, a lot of these men start churches and they start most of the thing, all except for John the martyr. And they began churches and ministries. And he says, you have to understand that if you understand the kingdom of God, you've been training the kingdom of God, you're a scribe to do and to teach it and to go live it and express it. And there's an old expression, a man of God who helped raise me in the Lord. He says, the kingdom is his purpose and the local church is his instrument. The kingdom is his purpose, the local church is his instrument. And so, kingdom of God, just as a quick reminder, who is the king?
Jesus.
And he said, Pilate asked, are you a king? He said, for this call that I've come into the world, he's a king. Okay? His subjects. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. How can I enter the kingdom of God? Nicodemus says, I must be born again. If I come into the kingdom by birth, I'm born again into the kingdom of God. There's a domain. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's laws and there's principles. And the kingdom of God, when Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 28, there at the very end, he said he rented out the house and he taught things of the kingdom of God, persuading them towards Jesus. So the kingdom of God, he taught the kingdom of God, persuading them towards Jesus. When I say the kingdom of God, it's not some it works in the dirt. It just means, where's Jesus Lord and where's he king? I say, Jesus, when we pray with my wife, Jesus, you're king over my family. Go into Scripture and I can find passages. Lord, I have a kingdom home because the King of God, the kingdom is in my home because Jesus is king over my family. He's the boss. As one of these old Chinese men of God, I watched him and he had a book and he said, one of the men said, called God the boss man. That's how he knew how to start a boss man. He's God, he's king. Amen? Alright, Jesus is king over this church. Lord, you're king over this church. And there's different ways and different arenas and different things you can talk about the kingdom of God. And I believe that the Lord uses local bodies and local churches to be expressions of Him. And so I was meditating last night on this and praying, and I believe something. I know, and I believe this to be true in every community, in every city across the country, across the world. The well-being of that city and community is really, a lot of it depends on the church that's there. Amen. It depends on the people of God there who are connected and who've been taken. You know what? When you're born again, when you're a child of God, you're filled with the Spirit, whether we like it or not, we become experts. And so when I go out into the world, somebody doesn't know Him, I'm coming as a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm an expert. What do I mean? Remember Rick Vargas, who came a couple months ago? He shared a story. I don't think he shared it here, but he shared it with me. I loved it. He said, when I went to China, went to China to minister, and they have to go under different aliases and different things. I forget how it worked. He said, but we were taken into the school system there. And Rick Vargas is a man who he graduated from high school, but he never touched a college campus. And they brought him in because they thought he was a college professor. Great PhD. Guy who teaches and trains. And he said, they were treating me like I was Albert Einstein walking in there. He says, I have nothing. And they said, we're going to turn you loose. Here's a group of students. And he said, they just let me go. You can't talk about Jesus, but you just go in there. And he said, I was kind of shaking, but in that moment, whether I liked it or not, I was an expert. I was Dr. Rick Vargas, not just Rick Vargas at the moment. And he went in there, and I loved it. He said, I shared the gospel with them through the American holidays. I taught them American history. So Independence Day, we're free in Christ. You know, it goes into Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Thanksgiving, you're thankful. Easter, He rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate. And so we masked the gospel there through that in so many different ways. When we find ourselves in different situations, in different settings, in different places, just as He did there, we're also experts. And we carry the gospel where we are, new and old. If I go back to where I am, Jesus, when I looked up the parables, He always taught the parables in language that the disciples would understand. He used imagery that they saw every day. He didn't say, oh, I was up in the third heaven and I saw this, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's fine. But He says, see the guy selling seeds over there? Well, My kingdom's like that. You see how the wheat and tares grow? My kingdom is like that. And He was able to take it and incorporate it from imagery. Sometimes abstract ideas are hard for people to wrap their mind around, right? And sometimes it's hard to validate it. But if I put it in a thing where I can walk out and do it, it becomes something else. Amen? And so, I was reading an article. Give me five more minutes. I was reading an article by a guy, Carl Vaders. And if you've never read Carl Vaders, I love him. He has it on Christianity Today. It's a small church pastor. And I love it. He writes some excellent things. Just read it, whether you're a pastor or not. He's got great stuff. And he was talking about a trend that I've seen, and I've seen it, and I don't really know why I'm going here this morning, but I am. But he was saying basically the difference between a local church and a church on your phone that we can get. And there's a difference.
Yes,
there is. It's easy for me to go today and I go on YouTube and hear the best, most anointed men and women of God like that. I can hear some of the best worship like that, even though it's canned. But there's something to be said when the body of Christ comes together, and the body of Christ is together, that can't be duplicated on a computer screen. Amen? There's things with local church. One is you have accountability. You have interactions with others. But every time I get, all I want to say about it is there's fresh things that come each and every time. Last Sunday was very different to me than this Sunday. And that's good. Worship can be different every single time. And that's good. Because remember when Paul talks in Corinthians, why is it each of you come together? One has a revelation, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. It means that when I get together, the anointing that's within me, all the things that God's given me, the treasure that God's given me can come out new and old in a way that I can speak. I can hear Bob share something that speaks to my heart, or someone else who shared something. I can hear the amazing things God's done. Because it does that to me. And in worship, it can go different. It can flow based on who's here and how it's worshiped. And that's a beautiful and healthy thing.
And it's something that in some capacity is being lost. The kingdom of God is mentioned 160 times in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is mentioned 115 times.
It's very connected. And so God uses corporate bodies. He uses corporate people. The simplicity of it is that God can take a local church. He can take me individually, and He does that. He does it with all of you. He took you individually, and even suffering in your family, Brad. But He can take a group of people and group, and the simplicity of it, He can make it an instrument to invade and to transform a city and a community that God's called you to be what? Salt and light in. Amen? I'm going to share more about this some later, because I feel like the Lord's given me a burden for something I need to share. It's a good thing. It's just something He's working in me now for the church as a whole. But I'm just going to bring, why do we do some of the things we do as a church? There's intentional reasons for it, whether I've ever expressed it or not. But the Lord loves Pawcatuck. He loves Westerly. He loves Stonington. He loves Connecticut. He loves Rhode Island. Amen? Yes. And He loves us. And I've said this before. I said this earlier. I believe the well-being of a community is really tied to the churches there. I believe that with all my heart. Salt and light. For example, why do we go to the Warm Center twice a month? Because when Jesus was going through and doing the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, He says, you're salt and light. So if I can go there, what am I? I'm salt and light to a place that needs it, to a bunch of people who need it. Amen? I'm infecting the area. Why do we pray? Prayer changes things, right? Like you shared this morning. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe when I come here to pray as a group, one, I meet God personally. But I can also pray for situations. I can pray for things in my community. I can pray for things in my nation. Pray. Like Jesus said again in the Sermon on the Mount. When you pray, not if you get a chance, but when you pray, pray like this. It means I pray. It means I do things because I believe that God's message can be transferred and affected through the silent act of prayer or the verbal act of prayer, through the hidden ministry of prayer is a better way to put it. I can go to my closet like Reese Howells in World War II, and they fought the battle on their knees. And much of World War II, a lot of it was attributed to the prayers of the people at the Bible College of Wells, because they prayed and they believed that God's purpose and God's will could overcome the evil dictates of Hitler. Amen? That's powerful. It's history. We don't hear about it often. Why do we have the healing room? Just something to do, right? No. Preach the gospel. Go heal the sick. I'm a scribe, right? It means I can teach it. And it means I also have a platform and opportunity to do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a way I can say, you know what, if I really believe this, have you understood all these kingdom parables? Yes, Lord, we have. So you're like a scribe. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Raise the dead, Diana. And I can do that. I can take it out. Amen. I can do those different things. Why do we do that? Sundays, I just talked about that. Each and every time I can come in, I can be built up and edified in a new way. Find someone here to disciple. Amen? Find some young people here and disciple them. Some of you who've been walking with God for a long time, you're a scribe. You're instructed in the things of the kingdom of God. I've been taught of God. God's taught me. Says you understand these things. Same word as disciple in the Greek. Now you go to disciple, find someone, whether they know you're doing it or not. Hey, did you hear about this? Do you know about this? Look what I found in the scriptures. Amen? And you can teach people and train people. Whether you don't say, I'm discipling you, brother. Can I mentor you? No, no, no. Just do it. You know? James, did you hear about this today? Listen, let me say what God showed me in the scriptures. I can't get that. And I listen to YouTube sermons all the time and worship all the time. I'm not all up. Amen for that. There's some great stuff on there, but I can't get that on my phone. Amen? It has to be interaction. And we do things like that in our church and in our community, because as a people of God, no matter what I might see on the outside or anything like that, as a people, we have a mandate, and we have, you understand these things? Yes, you're an expert. It means I have responsibility. We want to be mature people in God. How do you handle responsibility? The Lord says, I want to give you some responsibility here and see how you do. And then I want to give you some here and see how you do. How do you show up to worship when you don't feel good? How are you consistent and faithful? That's why I did that earlier. Because it shows maturity. It shows a consistency. And the Lord says, I can give more. I can give more. And the Lord sees a church who's faithful and consistent. And little things He's given them, big or small, not just me individually, but corporately. He says, now I can open up this. Pawtucket Neighbor's Center. We're giving diapers to them. We have more food that's down there. Fill up the baskets if you can. Why do we do that? Kevin was already doing the prisons when he got here. Why does he do that? Scriptural command. When have you done these things? You were in the prisons and you visited me. You were sick and you fed me. Those you've done, the least of these, you've done also to me. And so, why we do the things we do corporately, it means that all of us have a responsibility, and I can give and I can sow and do and say, well, that's a small thing. I don't see much from it. In the kingdom of God, in God's perspective, it's huge. And He marks it and He weighs it. I've heard a man of God say, the saints of God aren't counted or weighed. He weighs us. You're doing this. Look at all those disciples, those diapers these people brought there. And He weighs it. Let me do it again. Let me see what happens. And He weighs it. Now I'm getting more influence over there. And He weighs it. Let me bring this person here who can do this over there. And He weighs it. Amen? So as a people of God, we have responsibility individually and corporately. Amen? And to bring out the treasures we've received, if we've been instructed by God, all of us have treasures within us. Jesus Christ, Spirit of God, things He's taught us that are unique to us. Just like the little doctor, maybe your specialty is a knee. Like I said, maybe it's your elbow or whatever your specialty is. You take that and you blend it to the mix. It's a beautiful expression of Jesus Christ that can shake, rattle, and roll, Elvis said, a community. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to share some more things about that because the Lord's burdening my heart on some areas along these lines are good things. But I speak a lot here about individuals, and I want to do more on corporate because my individual mandate's good, my individual destiny's good, my individual purpose is good. But our corporate purpose is bigger. And when I can see something that's corporate, it raises me from here to up here. The Lord says I can do more. Amen? And so, Father, we love You. We thank You this morning.